Welcome to the NXT Podcast, your home for weekly NXT reviews and insight.
The beautiful part of NXT is that when one dream ends, another dream begins.
Find all of your NXT news, recaps, and analysis right here. So with that being said, we only have one question for you.
Are you ready?
We thought so. Let's get the show started right now.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the NXT Podcast. Once again, I am your host. My name is Zachary Smith. Very happy to be with you again today for an odd and interesting week of NXT. I feel like I say that every week, but this time we had some odd stuff kind of going in as well, so that's going to be interesting. As always, I am your host here. You can always find me on Twitter as well. I am at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. We're always talking about wrestling and fun things over there. I usually get the news and notes that we talk about right from Twitter. And obviously the thing that everybody's been talking about is SmackDown and Raw. We finished the draft. And some interesting things came out of the draft. Certainly, as they generally do. I will say that it was odd that you had the draft and it was just Stephanie McMahon coming out, reading out the names, and that felt a lot less dramatic. I mean, you think about those first drafts and like Ric Flair and Vince McMahon being out there and making picks, and then throughout the night you would see them in the back making their draft picks. That was a lot more interesting of a way to do it. I'm certainly not advocating for like Stephanie McMahon to be over SmackDown and Adam appears to be over Raw or something like that. I don't need general managers anymore at all, especially not McMahon's. So from that standpoint, that's fine. But for a draft specifically, it does take some of the drama away if you are just having one person just come out every so often and announce picks. But the rules were that, I believe, for every two picks SmackDown had, Raw got three, because Raw is a three-hour show. So that ended up being about 22 men to Raw versus 15 to SmackDown. So you had kind of an imbalance with the amount of people that went to Raw. So obviously Raw took Drew McIntyre. That makes sense. You're going to take your WWE champion. SmackDown took Roman Reigns. That makes sense as well. And so Raw takes Asuka. That makes sense. SmackDown eventually ends up with Bayley. Makes sense. We had Raw take the Hurt Business. That makes sense because you're getting Bobby Lashley and MVP and Shelton Benjamin and Cedric Alexander. So that's kind of a 4-in-1 pick. Raw kept Randy Orton. Raw got The Fiend. Raw got Braun Strowman, got Matt Riddle, got Jeff Hardy, kept Keith Lee, kept Ricochet. Elias came back and attacked Jeff Hardy, even though it was Sheamus that took him out, so I'm not sure why we did that. So on the women's side, they got Asuka. They did draft Charlotte Flair, obviously. They got Naomi. Alexa Bliss comes over to be with The Fiend. That's fantastic. I'm very glad to see that they're not going to separate those two, because that story just started, and so you're not going to take them away before that can even start. On the SmackDown side, as I said, we got Roman Reigns, our Universal Champion. We also got Jey Uso over to SmackDown, or kept him on SmackDown, rather, so their Hell in a Cell match is still going to be on. No complications there. Their second pick was actually Seth Rollins. That's interesting. I was watching the draft watch-along that they had on the network with the three guys from The Bump, and that was a fun show to watch. It looks like it's a lot of fun to be on that show. It doesn't seem like they're necessarily allowed to talk about when things don't necessarily make sense. They kind of have to stick to just the storyline version of what's happening. That's certainly not their fault, I don't think. I think that's because they're working directly for WWE. So, for example, Sami Zayn doesn't get drafted until very, very late, and he's your Intercontinental Champion. Certainly supports the story Chris Jericho told about talking about the Intercontinental title to Vince McMahon, and Vince McMahon said nobody cares about the Intercontinental title. Certainly WWE doesn't seem to. Miz and John Morrison go over to Raw. Retribution, for some reason, is drafted by Raw. I guess they're going with the theory that it's better to just sign them and not make them mad. I'm not sure. Street Profits go over to SmackDown with Cesaro and Shinsuke Nakamura. Dolph Ziggler and Bobby Roode. Rey and Dominik go to SmackDown with Seth Rollins and Murphy. So thank goodness that's going to keep going. That's good. Shayna Baszler and Nia Jax, your women's tag team champions, they go to Raw along with Mandy Rose and Dana Brooke, which is just that these two are blonde, and so we're going to put them in a tag team because we don't have anything else to do with them. If this were AEW, I would feel a lot better about people just being thrown together in tag teams because I know that they care about tag teams. But in WWE, I happen to know, and you've heard it on Bully Ray will say it. Anybody that's been in that company will say it. Vince McMahon doesn't necessarily care about tag teams. He just never has. He prefers building up singles matches. Vince McMahon's strength has always been building men's singles matches. And I don't know if he has strengths anymore, but that's certainly his focus. So Shayna Baszler, Nia Jax, Mandy Rose, and Dana Brooke. The only other women's tag team was the Riot Squad, Ruby Riott and Liv Morgan, that went over to SmackDown. So, as I said, Street Profits go over to SmackDown. And on the show, we had Kofi Kingston and the returning Xavier Woods. Great to see him back. He looks fantastic. Doesn't look like he lost a step. Which, when you have an injury like he had, it's easy to have lost a step or to have some ring rust, and it doesn't seem like Xavier Woods had any of that, so congratulations to him on making that successful recovery and coming back. But Kofi and Xavier Woods end up winning the tag titles, and Big E had a match earlier in the night where he beat Sheamus, so all three of them are in the ring, and Stephanie McMahon says that Raw has drafted Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods, and for a second they're confused. Xavier Woods says, "Say E's name. You didn't say it. Say E's name." And she says that SmackDown has drafted Big E. So that's interesting. Obviously, that was the real reaction of the New Day that you got in the ring there. I imagine they knew about it before they went out there. That would be messed up, although I wouldn't put it past WWE to do that. But I think you got their very real reaction. Maybe they knew it was coming. Maybe they knew it was bound to happen at some point, but you're never really ready for it until it happens. And so that means that the New Day is the only faction really in history to not break up and end with somebody betraying the other members or anything like that. The New Day has ended or has been put on hiatus because they were drafted to different shows. So on one hand, this sucks, right? New Day has been fantastic since they formed. New Day has always been entertaining, and most importantly, New Day has always been successful. You have three guys that are now 9-time tag team champions. I think they tied the Dudley Boys record for WWE title runs. And they've just been a constant beacon of success. They've been a well-oiled machine as a team, but they've also hosted a WrestleMania. They've also had a lot of comedic segments on the show. They bring a level of entertainment that a lot of people can't in that company. They're just three of the best in that company at doing that, and they were smart enough to group together to make that even better. And So on that hand, it sucks that they aren't going to be together anymore. I mean, you might see them at Survivor Series or something like that, or maybe at WrestleMania do a little thing where they have a little reunion, but for the time being, Kofi Kingston and Xavier Woods are going to Raw, and they're the tag team champions. Kofi and Xavier just switched titles with the Street Profits, which felt weird. I would rather them have just had a unification match, and then you could do the same thing you do with the women's tag titles, where they can go show to show. I think that would have made more sense. I mean, it looks like you have about 5 tag teams on Raw and 4 on SmackDown, so I mean, it's not like you're going to have that many feuds to go around. I would rather have 9 teams fighting over one set of tag titles, but whatever, they just swap the belts. And you have Big E continuing his singles run on SmackDown. Now, this isn't the first time Big E's been a singles wrestler. I mean, he came up in NXT with the 5 count. I don't want you to count 3, I want you to count 5. And he's had a run with Dolph Ziggler and AJ. And so he's had some success as a singles wrestler, but obviously the 3 of them together have had the most success. They're nine-time, in fact, tag team champions. And Kofi Kingston had that fantastic run-up to WrestleMania and Kofi Mania, where he beat Daniel Bryan for the WWE title. We're not going to talk about how that run ended. That still makes me mad. But it's still important to me that these guys collectively are 9-time tag champions, and Kofi won the WWE title, something that I wanted to see but never thought that I would. That's something that I would do on a 2K game all the time, but I never thought they would do in real life. And ever since the New Day formed, people have wanted to see Big E kind of go out on his own, because Big E is a real big dude. He's real muscly dude, so Vince McMahon's going to love that. He's a great talker. He can be really silly and be really funny and entertaining, but there's also a side to him when he gets serious that he can cut a really great promo on somebody, especially when the New Day would go against the Usos and they would stop joking and they would get serious. Big E always shined in those moments, so I think Big E has a lot to bring to the table, and I think that they've done a good job so far of just having him have steady success. He's gone out and he's beaten Sheamus a few times now. He's put a world champion on his list. And so it seems like on SmackDown they're going to keep building him up. It's way too early to think about who Roman Reigns is going to be facing down the line for the Universal title. You have Seth Rollins on the show. You have Daniel Bryan. You have Kevin Owens. I'd like to see all 3 of those guys go against Roman. You have Jey Uso, who's going to get him at Hell in a Cell. You have Aleister Black on the show. You have Apollo Crews. You have Otis, who still has the Money in the Bank as of right now. You have Murphy. You have Kalisto. You unfortunately have Lars Sullivan. You have King Corbin. You have Chad Gable. So you have people for him to go against. Of the people I just read out on that list, it would seem to me that Big E has the most upside that hasn't been realized yet. And so if I had to pick somebody eventually down the line that could beat Roman Reigns for that title, I think I'm picking Big E. I think it's a ways off before they're going to do that, simply because I think they want to bring Big E along slowly, and also Roman Reigns just won the Universal title, and he's doing the best work of his career, and they're certainly not going to take it off of him anytime soon. So for Roman, you just need to line up challengers and let him knock them down and build up heat. But if I had to pick somebody to eventually take that title from him, I think right now the way SmackDown is set up, I could see it being Big E. And you simply weren't going to be able to do that if all the members of the New Day were on the same show. There would always be a temptation to just put Big E back with Kofi and Xavier. It's too easy, not for them, but for WWE to just go back to the most entertaining thing they have on either show, rather than try and build up Big E as a single star. But Xavier got hurt, Kofi was out for a bit, they went with it, and now they don't want to just put him back with the New Day. And I mean, that was the only way that you were going to be able to do that, is to separate them. And so I think the sentiment going around right now is correct, that this sucks, but I think down the line this could be good for Big E. And so that's the way I'm going to have to look at it. So, obviously, entertaining draft. We'll see if they stick to that. I mean, on Friday we're going to have the last match for the New Day as a team, and we're going to have people on SmackDown that are going to Raw as like a farewell. But after that, you have to keep those rosters separate. Otherwise, this draft doesn't mean anything. And in the past, they haven't done a great job at doing that. So we'll have to see if they can do it this time and only have those rosters come together at Survivor Series or WrestleMania or the Royal Rumble. That's what makes those moments special, is that you don't see these people together a lot. So it'll all depend on whether or not they can do that. But nobody from NXT was drafted, which was interesting. We didn't have any call-ups as of yet. So we start the show. We have a recap of some of what happened last week. And Undisputed Era's Kyle O'Reilly, Bobby Fish, and Roderick Strong are out. The winners of this tag match will become the number one contenders for the NXT tag titles. Adam Cole is not here because he was attacked by Ridge Holland and his ribs are still hurt. The announcers are speculating on who could have paid Ridge Holland to attack Cole. It was absolutely Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong. Get out of here. Kyle O'Reilly says a lot of people around here think Undisputed Era is done for. Whoever is behind this attack of Adam Cole, the Era boys will find you and we will hurt them. He said the second coming of the Golden Prophecy begins tonight. We are going to run this business for a very long time. So I'm sure that Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish paid Ridge Holland. I'm not sure if Kyle O'Reilly was involved with that. I don't know if it's a you turned your back on us kind of thing, or if it's a two-on-two thing. I'm not sure yet. I think if you're going to try and make Kyle O'Reilly, then it would make sense for him to have turned on Adam Cole, because you've already made Adam Cole with the Undisputed Era, but you can also make another star out of that group. So I'd be interested to see if, really my only question here is whether Kyle O'Reilly was involved or not. Obviously he was involved in a match, but you can certainly pay a guy to do something while you're in the ring. So we'll see. Oney Lorcan and Danny Burch are the opponents for this match. Doesn't feel like NXT has very many tag teams at the moment. It kind of seems like these two keep circling each other. And now that Imperium's going to be on NXT UK, you lost a team, so it kind of just feels like these three at the moment. It certainly feels like these three are always the ones involved with the titles. It's a very good match in the ring, and we cut over to Breezango, who are in chairs in front of some of the virtual crowd watching the match. It's very funny to see them just off by themselves in front of screens of people's faces. Pretty good match in the ring, and then Strong hits the jumping knee on Oney Lorcan, and the Undisputed Era will challenge Breezango for the tag titles. Oney Lorcan is forever the guy that is there to lose when the team needs to lose, and that sucks, but he's very good at it, and he's very good in the ring. I hope they do something more with him someday, because I think there's more there than just having a fall guy. There's a stare down between Breezango and the Undisputed Era. It's hard because it always feels like Breezango are going to lose the tag titles, and it especially feels like we're heading for something big with the Undisputed Era. And so it feels like you would want to put the tag team titles on them. So I feel like the Undisputed Era is going to win, but I feel like Breezango's never going to retain the title. So I don't know if it's more that, but it certainly feels like Undisputed Era are going to win. A reporter in the back is back there talking about Finn, who had to undergo surgery for his jaw. I want to say it was fractured in two places. And they talk about the NXT title. She said that William Regal said that they'll evaluate again in a couple weeks to see how he's doing, and then they'll make a decision about what's going on with the NXT title. It would suck so much if the last two NXT champions immediately had to give up that title because of an injury in an NXT title match. Karrion Kross was injured in the match with Keith Lee to win the title, had to give it up that Wednesday. And then Finn Balor won it not long ago in a Fatal 4-Way and then a singles match with Adam Cole, and then had one defense against Kyle O'Reilly and has two fractures in his jaw. So it would really suck if the last two guys that held the title were snake bit. I don't know what you do after that. I don't know who you put the title on. You certainly have people you can put it on. It would just suck so much to have to just do another tournament or throw a bunch of guys together again to crown a champion. I don't know. So we'll hopefully Finn is making progress. I mean, he just had the surgery, and hopefully he can be back in enough time that they feel like they can keep the title on him. It feels like they don't want to just take the title off of him, whereas if this thing with Karrion Kross hadn't just happened, maybe they would be more willing to take that title off, it feels like. Ember Moon vignette, she says, 2019 was a terrible year for Ember Moon with that ACL tear. She said, being away, she found out who she needed Ember Moon to be. She said when she left NXT, she left on top. I don't think she did. I don't think that's correct. It feels like the only thing that I can think of when I think of Ember Moon is the rivalry with Asuka, as I've talked about before. That very much was not a rivalry, and she would get close, but Asuka would always win. So I do, no, not on top. She said, you don't get a title shot based on your past accolades. To get back to the title, I have to go through a who's who of athletes, and she puts over all of the, or most of the women in the women's division up to the champion, Io Shirai. She said, I don't care who I have to prove myself against. All roads led me back to NXT, but Ember's Law will lead me back to my title. Ember's Law feels like a t-shirt line that she had to throw in there. Other than that, promo was fine. Promos aren't necessarily Ember Moon's strong suit. She's certainly passable on the mic. There's not any glaring problems there. It's just not generally exciting. But it's very good to have her back in the ring. I didn't know if we would ever see that again. It doesn't seem like she knew if we were ever going to see that again. And it's just really good to see her back, and I think she's a great addition to the NXT Women's Division. And I think it makes sense to come back to NXT because they certainly weren't doing anything with her on Raw or SmackDown, so I think that's a good call. I think if you polled a lot of the people on Raw and SmackDown who aren't in something big right now, I think a lot of them would probably want to come back to NXT. So we have Candice LeRae versus Shotzi Blackheart tonight. And the winner is facing Io Shirai for the women's title at Halloween Havoc. Now, Halloween Havoc is a show that Shotzi Blackheart is hosting. So I'm not sure why we're doing this match. So Candice talks about that. Johnny talks about being upset that Dexter Lumis is getting a North American title shot. I don't know why he would be upset. He lost to Damian Priest, and Candice lost to Io Shirai. Johnny and Candice still don't feel like they're going to win those titles. I imagine we're running this back with Candice challenging Io and Johnny challenging Damian. And I'm not sure why. They both lost pretty clean in the middle. Johnny just got beat by Damian Priest, and Candice just got beat by Io Shirai. So it's odd to just run that back 2 weeks later, because it feels like this is just a rerun, and I don't see any reason why this time would be different with either of them. It feels like we're telling a different story with these two. I don't know. Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano are in the ring. Johnny in this match is clearly the better wrestler. He seems to know what Theory's going to do before he does it. He's anticipating all of his moves. Theory is really great at selling offense. I don't know where this story is going with these two. I think I do now, but Theory doesn't win very much at all in NXT, but he is very good. This match very much has a student-teacher vibe to me. Like, Johnny's trying to teach Theory a lesson in the ring as he is the better wrestler. So Johnny eventually hits that final beat, that apron DDT, and picks up the win pretty easily. Theory got some offense in, but he just couldn't keep up with Johnny at all. I'm interested to see what they're going to do with this, because Johnny's been kind of circling Austin Theory. Johnny gets out of the ring, and he kind of turns back to Theory, who's still selling in the corner, and mouths a couple times, not bad. So it seems like we're going for something between these two. Raquel Gonzalez says that Rhea walks around here like she owns the place. She says, I'm the biggest, baddest woman in this industry, said, Halloween Havoc is in 2 weeks. Why don't you show up? And before she can finish, Rhea comes around the corner and is yelling, and Raquel yells back. She says, we don't have to wait 2 weeks. And then they're separated by a crowd before anything can happen. That should be a fun match. These two have been circling each other for a while. That should be a women's version of a big man match where it's just two bigger wrestlers beating the hell out of each other, which is always fun. So we have Ciampa, who is looking, he's in the dark, he's holding his iron mask thing, and he's looking at the TV, he's looking back at the replay of the match that he had with Kushida a couple weeks ago, where that match was interrupted by Velveteen Dream accidentally coming off the ropes and hitting Ciampa when he meant to hit Kushida, which resulted in Ciampa winning by disqualification, which Ciampa at the time was not happy about, and is certainly not happy about it here. He still seems mad about it. Ciampa, it plays a clip of, I think it was Vic Joseph saying, I would not want to be Velveteen Dream, when Ciampa comes back around. Ciampa stands up and says he's dead and walks off. So I guess we're going to do Ciampa and Velveteen Dream next. I'd rather it be Kushida Ciampa, but that's okay. Shotzi's out next for the number one contenders match. Again, to remind you, Shotzi is the host for Halloween Havoc, so they're definitely not going to have her also have a title match at the show that she's hosting. So I say again, I do not understand why this match is happening. Seems like you have a lot of women that could be in this spot. Candice just lost a title match clean in the middle of the ring to Shotzi, or rather to Io. And again, Shotzi is the host, so this doesn't make a ton of sense to me. The women's division is so deep in NXT that Shotzi Blackheart feels like she's on the cusp of being a really legit title contender, and I do not see her getting a title shot anytime soon. There are just so many women that are ready to be in that title picture right now. So they're having the match, and then Candice goes to the outside, and in the crowd right near the front, near the fence, is Indi Hartwell, who's been, I guess, cool with the Garganos, and Indi hands something to Candice, and it turns out that it's brass knuckles, and Shotzi goes to reach for Candice to pull her back in, and Candice hits her with the brass knuckles, picks up the win. She hides it from the referee with her hand behind her back, and then walks back over to Indi and hands her the brass knuckles. So maybe what we're doing is Candice is a mentor, quote-unquote, for Indi Hartwell, and Johnny is a mentor, quote-unquote, for Austin Theory, so maybe we're doing a kind of stable here with two men and two women. I'm not sure, but I mean, they definitely have Indi Hartwell and Austin Theory. Well, Indi Hartwell certainly is working with the Garganos, and it seems like Austin Theory's been circling them, so that feels like what we're doing. Don't know yet, but that, if you made me guess right now, that's what it is. So we have Aaliyah and Robert Stone in the ring. Robert Stone says none of the top talents seem to want to connect with Suitman Stone and the Robert Stone brand. He said their loss is going to be someone else's gain, and evidently this is actually going to be Aaliyah versus the returning Toni Storm. Her music interrupts. For the record, Robert Stone is right. Whoever doesn't sign with him, it is definitely their loss. Mercedes Martinez was doing great in NXT when she was part of Robert Stone brand. She leaves Robert Stone brand, and now she has a silly name and a silly mask with a silly group on Raw. So I'm just saying that when you're with Robert Stone, you're in a cage match of the main event in NXT. When you're not with Robert Stone, silly mask, silly name, silly group. So he's got a point. It's really great to have Toni Storm on NXT. I thought that she would be on NXT UK, but it seems like maybe we're going to have a situation where we have some people moving up to Raw or SmackDown, and so they're reloading with really great talent. Just off the top of my head, you have Toni Storm, Candice LeRae, Rhea Ripley, Dakota Kai, Shotzi Blackheart, Ember Moon, Raquel Gonzalez, Aaliyah, Xia Li, Io Shirai as your champion. It's hard to find a better women's division in the world right now. They're packed with great talent. Storm picks up the win, obviously, and she's back officially in NXT. That's awesome. They announce that Rhea Ripley versus Raquel Gonzalez is going to happen at Halloween Havoc in 2 weeks. Also, Candice LeRae is getting another shot at Io Shirai for the NXT Women's title. And then next week, we're doing Breezango defending the tag titles against Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish. It's interesting that it's not Kyle O'Reilly and Bobby Fish, it's Roderick Strong and Bobby Fish, it makes sense that Kyle O'Reilly wouldn't be ready to go based on that match that he had with Finn Balor. But it just sets up interestingly for the story that it could potentially be Bobby Fish and Roderick Strong as the tag team champions. I think that's where we're going to go, and then we're going to have an interesting story going forward. It's just, again, it's just a matter of whether Kyle O'Reilly is in on it too. I'm not sure. So, Damian Priest is out next for the North American title match against Dexter Lumis. I really want Lumis to win. You know that. If you know me by now, if you've listened to this show, any episode that has Dexter Lumis in it, Dexter is creepy. He's probably a serial killer, and he's my favorite character on NXT. I'm always the most entertained by his segments, and he's the most different wrestler in NXT. He's a creepy character that pops up in places that doesn't in any way remind me of, like, The Fiend. And so it's his own spin on this kind of character, and it's really fun to watch. And it makes sense that this crazy dude would become a wrestler just to hurt people in a ring legally. That makes a lot of sense. Again, I want Lumis to win, but I think it's too soon to take that title off of Damian Priest. Damian Priest as North American champion isn't doing a lot for me. But in fairness to him, he hasn't had it very long, and they haven't given him a ton to do outside of short build-up matches. And so it's going to take a while before you can settle into a role like that. It wasn't long ago that he was just a guy that was there for Keith Lee to beat a bunch. And so now he's taken this more elevated stature, and I think that he's definitely ready for it. I think that the character just isn't connecting with me yet, and so it's just a matter of having that connection point. So Priest is out first, and then Lumis comes out second. Lumis has a really cool entrance, but it's always weird to me when the champion doesn't come out last. Again, Lumis has a great entrance, but it always feels like the champion should always go out last, especially in a title match. It just always feels really weird when you see the champion first. It always throws me off. Priest knocks down Lumis, but Lumis does a quick kip up, which is crazy to see a dude that big do that. I know it's a move a lot of people could do, but it's really cool to see. Later, they're both laying on the ground, and Lumis does a kip up and then jumps backwards and drops a leg on Damian Priest. That was ridiculous. You had to do a kip up, then see where Priest was, then jump backwards, and then get your leg to connect with his face. That had to be really hard to do. That was awesome. Every match, Dexter Lumis does something else that's really cool that I haven't seen before. Lumis locks in the silence, but Priest gets a leg on the ropes. This is just two dudes beating the hell out of each other, and that's always a lot of fun to watch. So Dexter Lumis throws Priest in the ring, and then Dexter Lumis is on the apron, but then Cameron Grimes runs in and hits that running stomp, the cave-in, maybe, on Lumis. The ref doesn't see it. Cameron Grimes, of course, because it's Cameron Grimes, his hat comes off while he's doing that stomp, and so it's in the ring. So before he ducks down, he has to grab his hat from inside the ring. So he has to reach around Dexter Lumis, who he just kicked, and grab his hat, and then basically lays down on the side so the ref doesn't see him. And so Lumis gets back in the ring. Priest hits him with that sit-down choke slam, and so Damian Priest retains the title. Again, it sucks that Dexter Lumis lost, but you knew that was going to happen. But this loss being due to interference doesn't hurt Dexter Lumis. It doesn't hurt Damian Priest because he didn't know he got help, and now Cameron Grimes can move on with Dexter Lumis in a feud. So it wasn't for nothing. You get a good match out of it. Damian Priest is starting to get out of the ring, but then Cameron Grimes gets in and he's talking smack to Lumis, but Priest sees it. He hits the Reckoning on Cameron Grimes, so they're both laid out. Originally, I thought that that was going to mean that we were going to do a triple threat match, but Damian Priest is on the entrance ramp, and then from nowhere, Johnny comes in and hits him in the back with a steel chair. Then he throws the steel chair at Priest. Priest catches it, and Johnny kicks the chair, so he lays out Damian Priest. So Candace joins him, so Johnny and Candace are standing over Damian Priest laughing. Regal comes out with no music, just behind them, and says, "You two must be very proud of yourselves." They both say they are. Says, Candice, you will face Io Shirai, and Johnny, you will face Damian Priest for the North American title, but the stakes are going to be higher. Don't take it from me. Take it from the host. And Shotzi Blackheart kind of comes out of the, like, opposite end with a bunch of, like, dry ice coming up. And she basically says, her cadence was weird, but she said, Candice, Johnny, both your matches will be determined with a spin the wheel, make the deal. And then the wheel starts spinning and she starts laughing and howling, and Candice and Johnny are very upset, and we go off the air. So, spin the wheel, make the deal is a thing that they use sometimes in WWE. They haven't used it in a while. It's basically a big wheel, and that wheel has match stipulations on it. So, could be steel cage, could be bull rope, could be no disqualification, could be any kind of match. And you spin the wheel, and that's the kind of match you're going to have. So, presumably next week, we're going to spin the wheel, make the deal for both of those matches so that we find out what our takeover match stipulations will be. We know it's Candice challenging Io. We know it's Johnny challenging Damian. But we're not sure yet what type of match. So, I think we're going to find out next week, because in 2 weeks, the actual matches are going to happen at Halloween Havoc. So, I guess it makes sense to do that next week. So, that should be interesting. We have some stuff coming up. So next week we'll probably find out what those match stipulations are. I imagine next week we're going to have new tag team champions, just because I think that that makes sense with the story that they're going to tell with Undisputed Era. And then maybe we'll get more between Cameron Grimes and Dexter Lumis. Probably something between Io and Candice and Johnny and Damian. Hopefully we'll see what's going on with Austin Theory and Johnny Gargano. Again, feels like too soon to take the title off of Damian Priest, but if you were going to, I guess that Indy Hartwell could interfere on Candice's behalf and Austin Theory could interfere on Johnny's behalf. I don't know. Maybe. But we've got some fun matches. We won't have an NXT title match, it doesn't seem like. I wouldn't have thought we would, just based on how Finn came out of that match. I don't think he's going to be wrestling anytime too terribly soon. So hopefully he gets better soon and he doesn't have to relinquish that title. We got a lot of interesting stuff going on. So we're going to have to wait and see what happens. But in the meantime, I have been your host this week. Hope it was as fun to hear as it was to talk about. Got some of the draft talk out of the way. That was the big story coming out of both shows. And then we had a solid NXT to follow up. It's interesting not seeing NXT take part in the draft at all. If they really were a third brand, you would think you'd have a three-way draft, but I don't trust WWE to do that correctly. So I'm glad that NXT just kept all of their people. NXT is a high-performance vehicle right now. Just let it run. Don't mess with it. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what we get next week, and then hopefully we have some more matches added to Halloween Havoc. So I could be excited about that too. In the meantime, that's it for this week. Again, you can always find me on Twitter. I'm at ZachNXT. That's at ZachNXT. You can always find me talking about wrestling or other fun stuff over there. As I said, the news and the notes generally come from Twitter. So if you want to hear something on the show, let me know over there. In the meantime, that means my time is up. So I have been Zachary Smith. You have been a fantastic audience. Thank you for listening.